Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and the conclusion of our study of Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 through 19, titled God's Final Warning to Bible Corruptors. This is part two of two.
You can't be saved if we don't have the infallible Word of God. We would be no different from those naked people down in New Guinea. Jeannie and I are watching a program about the disappearance of Mike Rockefeller back in the early 70s. And he went down there to study all the naked people down there. And he wasn't going down there to tell them, you know, to preach salvation. He was going down there because he was a nutty liberal. And he was going down there to, he didn't want them to change. He thought it was sad that they stopped headhunting. This culture is disappearing. Good. We don't need headhunting cultures. But that's the mind of a liberal. Cuckoo. And he disappeared. Just a second. He disappeared. And then they talked about how, you know, when he was down there, he looked around and he said they had a superior manner of dress. They didn't wear anything. You see what I'm saying? So anyway, those people down there in Papua New Guinea, they need to hear the Word of God. Amen. Because they didn't have, now there's missionaries been down there. We had a family from our church spend their lives down there. There's a lot of saved people down there now. You know what they did? One of the things they did is put on clothes. They stopped headhunting. They put on clothes. Things improved. That's what happens when you have the Word of God. Guess what's happening in America today now that they're throwing the Word of God out? Everybody's losing their clothes. The way to become famous and hit the front page of the Hollywood magazines is to walk around with a short skirt on without panties and then flash them when they're taking pictures. That's what they're all doing for attention now. Like a bunch of crazed Amazon jungle idiots. It's just crazy. But I think it was Peter Ruckman. He's one of these preachers who had a sign he used to put out, back to the Bible or back to the jungle. Yep. And that's what's happening out there. You're burning down your own, you know, crazy. You get angry, and so you riot and burn down your own neighborhood. Yeah. Boy, you showed them there, Ferguson, Missouri. They'll never try that again. You do that again, we're going to burn it down again. Just crazy. That's what happens when you don't love Jesus, you throw his words out, and then society, your family, your churches, you look at the churches that are just a joke, and they're not even preaching the gospel. Now, it all started when they stopped caring about the words of God. The evidence for love of Jesus is to love his words. Now, are you going to keep his words? Amen. Look how easy it is. All you got to do is keep the King James Bible. Mm-hmm. Keep it in your hand. Keep it in your heart. Amen. Keep it in your mind. Amen. Keep it in your church. Amen. Keep it in your home. Amen. And if there's any way at all possible, you keep it in your schools, or Christian school, homeschool, or whatever you can, if you can. I say that because there's some people out there I know can't do it. And I hear from them every once in a while. I'm not picking on you. I'm just saying that if we could, we'd make sure all of our kids were in schools that taught the King James Bible. Amen. With sound doctrine. Yes. And I'll throw that out there again. Somebody asked me again to clarify. I do not think we should be putting the Bible in public schools. I do not believe they should be teaching the Bible in public schools. The idiots who would teach it would be worse than the devil himself sitting up there teaching those kids. They rip it to shreds. They'd teach it wrong. They'd have the kids confused. They'd probably just sit up there whole time trying to make them not believe it. Mm-hmm. So keep it out of the public schools. That'd be a disaster. Now read the last part of verse 19 again and read it carefully. Let's read the last part. Says, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Did you see that? Well, I got two words highlighted there. He'd take his part out of the book of life and from the things which are written in this book. You see that? Many of those responsible for these perversions are in hell right now.
Yep.
Westcott and Hort are in hell right now. And a lot of the guys involved in translating Bibles did so because they were trying to pull the whole church into the Vatican text. And you can read about that. Not a very thick book. David Daniels put out a book, Why They Changed the Bible, available from chick.com. He explains what was behind all that. And they're in hell at this very moment. That's just important to point out for anybody tempted. There are a lot of young people who think they're going to be something by going to college and learning Greek and Hebrew and becoming a Bible corrector. And then they stand in the pulpits and just change the Bible with Greek and Hebrew. And they want you to think they're something. You better think twice about it. Now, do you want to see something amazing?
Yay!
You see that verse we just read? The two words that I put up there? Look at this. This is from the English Standard Vatican Version. The favorite version of apostates in this day and age. Look what they did to that very verse. God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city which are described and not written in this book. Can you imagine being so stinking dark, so stinking spiritually blind, that you have your, I don't care if you're reading it in a Greek text, and you see a warning, if you add to or take away from, you're condemned. And then they do it. They just go right ahead and do it. Can you imagine? Well, I'll tell you what, you want to see what it looked like. Go look up the story of Frank Logsdon. Frank Logsdon was the head of the New American Standard Translation Committee. And you can hear the fear in that man's voice when he was, I believe, interviewed on the radio toward the end of his life. And he had just resigned and asked them to take his name from any association with the New American Standard. And when he was talking, I'm paraphrasing to some extent, but you could hear his voice shake, and he said, I'm in trouble with the Lord. I'm in trouble with the Lord. When he saw what they did in that New American Standard Bible and the changes made to the very verses warning against it, and they took a verse in John 1:18 that and changed it so it matches the Jehovah's Witness Bible, for example. And they turned Jesus into a begotten God. Jesus was not begotten as God. He is the eternal God, the eternal Son of God. He was begotten as Son, as a man. The begotten refers to his incarnation as a man, not to his divine nature, which is eternal. And the Jehovah's Witness Bible and the New American Standard Bible corrupt that, pervert it, and turn him into a created God. Just like who else? The Mormons turned Jesus into a created God, brother of Lucifer. The exact same change is made in the NIV, the New American Standard, the Message, the New Living Trans, etc.
Yep.
Look them up, you'll see the exact same change made in those other Bibles. The New King James kept very close to the King James, but then in a footnote tells you, you know, what it ought to say is, if we were honest, we would have changed it. We think the better manuscript says that. But we left it this way to sell Bibles. If footnotes were honest, that's what the New King James footnote would say. We didn't change it like the other perversions because we know if we do, we won't sell Bibles. Yeah, same thing with 1 John 5:7. There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Spirit, and these three are one, out of every new version. except the New King James. And in their footnote, they say the same thing. The better manuscripts don't actually have that. They're full of baloney, but they're basically admitting that the reason they left it in is to sell Bibles. So, real quick, let's look at a few of these. Just in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 8, they ripped out the words, the beginning and the end. In chapter 1, verse 11, they took out 10 words, including referring to Jesus as Alpha and Omega. In chapter 2, verse 13, the words, thy works, ripped out. Chapter 5, verse 14, him that liveth forever and ever, ripped out. Chapter 6, verses 1, 3, 5, and 7, the words and see out of all those verses. In chapter 8, verse 13, they changed the word angel to eagle. But they look similar. They both have wings, right? No, actually, angels don't have wings. Look at this. Fact. Even the Greek texts all say angel. There's no Greek to back up the change to eagle. There's something wrong with these people, folks. Chapter 11, verse 17, and art to come out. And sometimes people say, well, those words don't change a major doctrine. That's not the standard, so I don't care. You're not to change a word.
That's right.
And that's what they'll tell you. All these guys that are conservative evangelical. And they'll say, well, no changes in these new versions change a major doctrine. Well, that's not actually true. But even if it were, that's not the standard. The standard and the point is, don't change it. And by the way, we're not done yet. Chapter 12, verse 12, the words inhabitants of out. Chapter 12, verse 17, they refer to take the word Christ out. Chapter 14, verse 5, before the throne of God, ripped out. Chapter 16, verse 17, the words of heaven, ripped out. Chapter 20, verse 9, the words God out of, telling you where the fire came from, ripped out. Chapter 20, verse 21, the word God is changed to throne. And chapter 21, verse 24, of them which are saved, out. Whew. And those are just the major changes, by the way. There are other changes, but those are the major changes just in the book of Revelation, in the new versions, in the very book that warns them as we started reading those two verses. Can you imagine being on that translation committee and being involved in that? Whew. New versions, put your soul in what?
Jeopardy.
Every once in a while, we'll talk about something this serious, and everybody, I don't think it's funny. You guys are laughing. I said, listen, you got to laugh, or it'll drive you crazy. You lose your sense of humor, you're going to go nuts. Not just about this, but about where we are. So in closing, the mark of the true followers of Christ, John 17, verse 6, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have what?
Kept thy word.
Kept thy word. The mark of unbelieving of the unbelieving apostate, Psalm 119, 158, among other verses that could be quoted. Read that with me. I beheld the transgressors and was grieved because they kept not thy word. There it is. The mark of the true church in the last days. We studied when we began our studies in Revelation back in chapter 3, verse 10. Because thou hast what?
Kept the
word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation. Pre-trib rapture. Which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Those who love God's word are the real Christians. And I want to say this. We're not saying, and I get asked this every once in a while, we're not saying that if someone was saved reading an NIV or something that they're not saved. If the message preached was how that Christ died for your sins and that he rose again the third day according to the scripture, and you repent toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, you're saved. I tell people, I led a guy to the Lord using the Book of Mormon. There's a verse in there, in 1st and 2nd Nephi, somewhere in there. I've got it written down in my Book of Mormon. And when the Mormons show up, I get my Book of Mormon out. And I open up the verse and I said, you know, here it is, right there in your own book. It tells people to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, burial, to be saved. Now, of course, there's other places that, you know, messes all that up. But that one verse right there in their Bible says that. And there was a Mormon I was talking to. I was working with, actually, Pizza Hut. And I'd say, yeah, the gospel's right there in the Book of Mormon. Because they teach that our Bible has corrupted the gospel and they have come to restore the gospel. See? I said, well, your Book of Mormon has the same basic gospel truth that ours does, but then they just add a bunch of stuff to it, which is cursed by according to Galatians 1, 6 to 9. He went and looked all that up, came back. He said, I don't know what to do. And he said, but he mentioned to me that his grandpa was an old-time Methodist preacher, like his 80s. And I said, well, why don't you call your grandpa up? Because I was witnessing to him, but, you know, he just, it was really hard for him. Most of his family is Mormon. So he called up his old grandpa, and his old grandpa set him straight, and he got saved. Yeah. So I believe he was saved, even though he didn't get the gospel straight from the King James Bible. He later did. He got him a King James Bible and started studying it. But you could be saved from, I think, of if God wanted to, he could make it a jackass talk and you could get saved.
Yep.
Some people might say you're a witness singer right now. Amen?
Wow.
So I just want to throw that in there. But those who are saved are those who keep his word. You're not saved by doing that, but that's a mark of the fact that you are a believer. And those are the ones promised to be raptured, kept from the hour of temptation which shall come upon all the world. Great stuff. All right, we're going to pick up there. We'll be done with our next study of the book of Revelation. And then we'll have Q&A. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this study. Thank you for the fact that we have this book. And even though there's a lot of people who want to get their hands on it and corrupt it, we've got the word. We've got the book.
Amen.
And we're so thankful. And I pray that everyone in this room really has a sense of awe in having the infallible word of God.
Amen.
In our possession.
Yes.
And may people study the history and understand the sacrifice, the blood of the martyrs that produced this book. And studying the six previous translations that resulted in the seventh being our authorized version. And the men who worked to translate this thing. And then all the work since 1611 to publish this and get it out around the world. And there are many translations taken directly from the King James Bible into other foreign languages. Just an incredible way that you've used this particular book, the English Bible. And we're just thankful for it. And pray that everyone here just continues to fall in love with your word. And fall in love with Jesus. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We got a few minutes if you'd like to ask a couple questions. Johnny?
Jephthah,
yeah.
Jephthah said he would sacrifice anything. And
yeah. There's other stories like that, though. I mean, it's not the only one.
Would you think the only thing was just he said something stupid?
It was a foolish statement. Yeah.
Because I know generally God doesn't.
He swore an oath.
Yeah, he swore an oath, and it was foolish, that's for sure.
Because I know God generally, if not ever, except maybe once, of course, when Jesus came, he never asks for human sacrifice.
Right. God did. That's what I said. God didn't have.
One other time. There was.
Well, God didn't have anything to do with that, though. That's what I want to remind everybody. You go back and read the book of Judges itself. which is where that's found. But throughout the book of Judges, there are some horrible stories in there. Because it was a time when there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes, which is called relativism. And that's where we are today. There's no absolute truth. Everybody's truth is their own truth. Your opinion is your opinion. Mine is mine. And so let's all just do whatever is right in our own eyes. And you can see what's happening in our culture today. And that's what was happening in the book of Judges. So it's an incredibly dark book, but it is an incredible book. There's some highlights in there too, you know. That story is just one of those. There's another story just like the one, you know, when they came to Lot in the book of Genesis, and they wanted his daughters, and or they wanted the men, and Lot offered his daughters. And the angels stopped that, and they didn't get them. But, you know, there's another story in Judges just like that, and they actually did take the concubine, abused her all night, and left her dead on the porch, and the fella took her and cut her in 12 pieces and sent one piece to each of the 12 tribes. And it almost ended up in the complete annihilation of the tribe of Benjamin and so forth. God didn't tell him to do any of that, but it happened. And Judges is a history book, and it told you the history, and that's what happened. Yeah, yeah, Jane.
Abel asked...
Okay, before we move on, did you have something related there?
I was just going to say that when I listened to the book of Judges most recently, like, I just was struck by it, and every man did what was right in his own eyes.
Yeah.
It was like they were godless, and they were just going around doing what. And like in that circumstance, God did not tell him to cut that woman.
No.
Just nail her around the country.
Right.
It was a godless thing to do.
Yeah.
And that God's wrath was upon. He was letting them suffer the consequences for their own sin.
Yeah. And you know, a lot of times, if you don't say that all truth is relative, and you say there are absolutes, you know what that makes you?
A bigot.
Hater. You're a hater. Okay. You're a bigot. Okay. And my response is, I told Mark this earlier, hate is the word liberals use when they don't have anything intelligent or honest to say. That's what the response is. Hate. Tracy? Right.
Yeah, that was.
Yeah, God had his purpose. God knew from the beginning there wasn't going to be a human sacrifice. But he was picturing Abraham loved his only son. And that's why it says that in the text. And it's picturing Jesus.
Right, and that God was able to raise him up because he promised him.
Yeah, Hebrews explains that. Yeah, Hebrews 11 goes into it. Jenny?
Okay, so Abel was asking, what's cut and port into the occult and horn?
Yes.
Specifically regarding their disdain for the TR.
Yes, Westcott and Hort, actually it was Fenton John Anthony Hort himself, before he knew how to even read Greek, in letters he wrote, in one particular letter, he referred to the received text, which the King James is translated from, the Textus Receptus, as vile.
Oh.
And he said he could not wait until they could replace that vile Textus Receptus. That was an ignorant kid who didn't even know how to read Greek. But he stuck to his satanic convictions and became one of the drivers behind the replacement of the received text. And all new versions are Vatican versions. Westcott and Hort replaced our Bible that the King James came from with the Vatican Codex. And they pretended it was an eclectic text and everything. The only time they went to anything other than the Vatican text is when it was so bad that they had to go to something else. Like I said, to sell Bibles. And so, what was the other one? They said also the occult. Yeah, there's a lot of interesting information you can go out and read. Westcott, Bishop Westcott, was the head of a psychic guild. And it was mostly to investigate, as far as I've seen. But there were some involvement in necromancy and occult practices. And it's funny how so many of these Bible translators who helped corrupt the Bible had occult connections. If you read New Age versions by Gail Riplinger, she goes into a lot of that. And, and that's another one. They'll rip her to pieces and try to assassinate the messenger. But if you haven't read New Age versions, that's another good one that goes into a lot of that information. And then there's other the movies that we've recommended by Chris Pinto, A Lamp in the Dark, Tares Among the Wheat, and Bridges to Babylon. Those three, that's like 9 hours total of documentary.
I raised my hand. I asked him. One of those translations said something completely different than the King James.
Yeah.
And I said, why is that? And he said that it was a different manuscript.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if what he's saying is one over the other one. I don't know. That's kind of confusing to me.
Well, it's not. It's only confusing until you learn how simple it is. They try to make it confusing. They don't want you to understand this. But it really is this simple. Yeah. All Christians until 1881 used one Bible. And every language, whether it was Luther's German or the King James or the Geneva Great Bible, Tyndale's, all those came before the King James in English. Wycliffe was the only one who didn't use the same Bible, and that's a long story to get into right now. But all Christians used one Bible, and then Rome had her Bible. And what happened in 1881 is professing evangelicals under the influence of Westcott and Hort started using Rome's Bible. That's how simple it is. Since 1881, all the new versions come from Rome's Greek Bible, Codex Vaticanus. That's why it's just as simple as you have a Ford and you have a Chevy. You use the Ford blueprint, you get a Ford. You use the Chevy, you get a Chevy. And in when it comes to the Bible, you have the Textus Receptus, which all Bibles came from until 1881. Since then, they switched to Rome's blueprint, and that's why the versions, the new versions, read so differently than the King James. It's not just updating the language. It's all about switching Bibles to, they want a one world Bible. They want the whole world to have one Bible. And if you use an NIV, an English Standard Version, any of those, it's the same Bible. It's the Codex Vaticanus. It's the Vatican Bible under different names. And that's the end game. That's the goal. That's why after condemning Bible translation, outlawing it, persecuting and killing people for translating the Bible, in the 19th century, Rome decided you can't beat them, join them. And so Rome got into the translating business. And there's a whole lot of detail that we can't go into. But again, why they changed the Bible, David Daniels, Chick Tracks sells the book. He goes into, he does a great job explaining how that happened. Yeah. But when people, you know, and he may be ignorant, a lot of these preachers repeat this stuff and they don't even really know what they're talking about. But when the preacher looks at you and says, well, the better manuscripts say, if you can arrange it, I'd love to have lunch with them. I really would like to, for them to have an opportunity to hear the truth. For them to hear, first of all, you need to sue and get your tuition back. Your college ripped you off. As far as any Bible and the manuscripts and everything, colleges are teaching garbage. And they're the ones responsible for a lot of these guys. Southwestern Seminary. Yep, that's one of them. Southern Baptist, corrupt, Alexandrian Bible professors.